patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
I'm so excited to talk some baseball with you again, buddy. All the way from Swakopmund, Namibia, Africa. Our time differences, buddy. We are about as far apart as we possibly could be.
You're staying up late. I'm waking up early. That's the love of the game.
Adam's having a coffee right now while I drink a beer. So
nothing new there.
Welcome to the walk-off, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. It is a mailbag Monday on a Tuesday afternoon kind of day. Before we get into all of your comments and stuff like that, I did just wish to, why don't you come over here, T? So everyone, hey. Taylor Belford.
Oh, it's official.
T and I came all the way here and we eloped and got hitched. And honestly, I was like, both of us were completely blown away by all of the well wishes and comments from all of you walk-off community folks. Like literally my Twitter was full of well wishes and Discord and everything. So we just wanted to say,
Yeah, very cool. Thank you so much. That was really cool reading all that.
Congratulations, so. Both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
We had a blast. It's very beautiful. So.
All right, we're going to talk baseball now. Later, baby.
She's heading down to the bar. That's fair.
That's right. All right, sir.
We do have some baseball to get to.
Yes, we do.
I understand now why you chose the end of January to do this. It's not a special date for you. Don't pretend that it is. This is just the worst time of the year to come up with baseball stories and to come up with talking points. So it's been a real tough slog on me to not just come up with clickbait, Twitter rumor, speculation, garbage. It's been tough.
So you weren't all over the 17-year-old who said Scott Barlow's coming to Toronto.
No, I hold off on those. I do my best not to to get into that. Today's episode, before we get too deep into it, is brought to you by our Patreon. Tonight is trivia night, Scott.
So cool. That's unreal. This is why it's funny. I keep getting notifications on the phone being like, another person joined Patreon. So yeah, it's coming up. That's awesome.
I know I sent you the news from Craig yesterday and you tweeted it out that we're at 44 as of right now. So we gained another 4 yesterday. If we can get to 50 before trivia night, he's going to up the ante on the prize pool and throw in some Ricky Tiedemann rookie cards.
Wow.
Very cool. Very generous of him. So we did have some clarifications that I need to go over for this trivia night. It is Major League Trivia. Major League the movie, not Major League the baseball sport.
Yes, got Ricky Vaughn.
Quite a few comments from people who I think saw the thumbnail, did not watch the video. we're like, is this Blue Jays specific trivia or is this for the entire league? I'm like, no, it is neither. It is from a 30-year-old movie, actually. So yeah.
It's about Jake Taylor and his bum knees.
Exactly. Anyways, so we're gonna have a lot of fun with that tonight. 8 p.m. Eastern. That's 6 p.m. my time. It was gonna be 6 p.m. Eastern, just like long toss, but I need a couple extra hours to throw a nap in this afternoon.
Yeah, that's 4 a.m. my time for those of you following along in Africa.
Right. Scott probably won't make it to this one. He'll be there for the next one. Anyways, it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'll throw the info out into Patreon. So if you do join the Patreon, that's where you'll get the invite to our secret trivia room on Zoom or whichever format we end up going with. But there you go. A lot of fun. There is going to be a prize for tonight's winner is a fitted Blue Jays baseball cap. So that'll be what we're doing for today. We're going to keep a running tally all season long for the scoreboards. And by the end of the year, there'll be a nice authentic Blue Jays jersey and more for the season total trivia crown winner. So there you go.
Very cool. Speaking of hats, I'll take the safari hat off and we'll go Blue Jays Belford now. Yeah, there we go.
Temporarily switching hats, switching gears. I love it. All right. So that's the name of the game so far. Patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. There you go. Okay. First a couple of housekeeping and then we'll get into the comments for today.
Can't wait, buddy.
So Jimmy J on YouTube has been throwing some engagement boost comments on the videos, which I always appreciate. Literally just says engagement boost. You guys rock on like every single clip we put out. So
very cool.
Shout out to Jimmy helping the algorithm there. Another way you can help the algorithm, we can kind of cheese our way to looking like there's some real engagement here. Lewis made a 20-point counter argument to the episode we had Joel on Wednesday last week.
Perfect.
20 points. He made them in 20 separate comments. So I love it. It really, like, we got to 100 pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's funny. Some people were critiquing Lewis of, like, why couldn't you have just said this in one long post? But for the record, if you put an essay in the comment section, I am 100% not reading it. But if you make 20 separate comments, I'm also just as likely to read it. So
yes,
I appreciate the clean, it's itemized. Consumable. It's more consumable. And you know what?
This is something we've learned. It only took us 2 years to learn this with a clip channel. So here
it
we
go. It also, yeah, exactly. Right. We're learning too. It also makes the counterpoints to your counterpoints that much easier to get to, right? Because then someone can comment on point number 17 on comment number 17 and go, this is why Joel's right, actually.
Yeah.
So anyways, shout out to
our boy, it's funny, like of all the guys who have stepped up, and it's been awesome to see Garth and Craig Ballard and Joel filling in and doing their thing. I love it so much. You know, they're the walk-off team through and through, man. They've been doing long toss forever and helping out the channel forever. But there is some disagreement with Mr. Hey, call me there. I'll tell you. Yeah,
that is the truth. All right. Then the last thing I'll get to before we get to the real baseball comments. I probably sent you this in the show notes. I don't know if I did or not. If I did, probably didn't make any sense to you. But Cash McGregor says it was 7 games and he had 2 8-goal games allowed and absolutely crapped the bed in game 7 at home. And the Sedin twins were the reason they were in the finals. Stick to baseball and don't smoke a J before your next video, Adam. We were talking, Scott, Craig and I were talking about Jose Berríos and the ups and downs that he had last season.
Yes.
And I made the comparison of Roberto Luongo for the Vancouver Canucks in the 2011 playoff run. And I forget why I made the comparison, but I noted how well Luongo played. They still lost the Stanley Cup Finals and they ended up running him out of town. Anyways, my point being was, yeah, he had some bad games, but I was saying he was the reason they were even in the finals. Apparently Cash disagrees with me. So I had to go do some research because I don't remember how well the Sedins played in 2011. So the Canucks lost in 7.
Yes, they did.
2 of those 3 wins the Canucks did get, however, were shutouts. And Daniel Sedin, less than a point a game, 20 points to 25. And Henrik, 22 and 25. They combined for 5 points in the Stanley Cup Finals. So.
Yeah, wasn't it Marcus Naslin that tore things up for them that year?
All I'm saying is if we're going to, you can't blame a goalie for losing the Stanley Cup Finals when the two wins you did get was because he got a shutout. And the two guys that apparently got you there were held virtually pointless across seven games. So I think the way we got there was Craig had brought up that the Blue Jays are something like 23-9 last year in Jose Barrios starts, which is kind of a mind-blowing stat.
It's a ridiculous stat, and counting on that happening again is not the way we want to see the Jose Barrios experiment roll out. But yes, I get what you're saying.
So yeah, anyways, that's enough hockey talk. The reason I wanted to bring this comment up, I guess, is because if we stuck to topics we know, we wouldn't even be doing a baseball podcast. So there you go. All right, let's pivot from there.
Well said. Yes. Well defended.
All right, speaking of defending, a topic that's been a lot more divisive than I would have guessed is Buck Martinez.
Oh, really?
So Buck Martinez coming back for 2023 ball season. I think I was asking Garth about this on Friday, but we talk potential replacements, right? It's an inevitability. At some point, he's not going to be part of this spectacular broadcast team. We talked replacements. We talked Joe Siddall. We talked Dan Schulman. Obviously, Schulman's already heavily involved. Pat Tabler's now gone. He won't be calling any games this season. So we talk potential replacements, I guess. Ricky Romero was mentioned.
Sure.
Like Devlin, who covers the Raptors game, was mentioned. I don't like that one.
Yeah.
Anyways, the question I asked that led to the divisiveness was level of excellence for Buck Martinez. For me, it's a no-brainer. It's a yes.
I've never heard the idea of him being on the level of excellence before. I actually really, really like that. Like, what a mainstay in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays over multiple decades. Wow, man, you just blew my mind. I love the idea of Buck Martinez on the level of excellence. Right, there are some people who don't like this.
Craig doesn't like it.
Oh, Craig doesn't
I was surprised
like
by that. Craig doesn't like not him as a broadcaster enough. Either. Doesn't like right. Doesn't like the way he calls a game. He says, sure, he's been with in baseball for a long time. Didn't think he was a very good catcher. Didn't think he was a very good manager. Doesn't think he's a very good broadcaster. And there's a lot of people who are in agreement there. So,
yeah. Well, you know what, man? That is the beautiful thing about baseball. I mean, I asked, it's the beautiful thing about Craig Ballard. I asked Craig, I'm like, buddy, I'm going to be in Toronto in June. Let's go to a ball game. And his response was, I don't really like going to games. He said he'll come, but he doesn't really like live baseball, which is just too funny.
Weird. Yeah, that is that's crazy.
So he's like, I'd just rather watch it on TV. That's fair.
That's fair.
Just with a different broadcaster than Buck.
Yeah. I'll listen to the away games broadcaster. I'll listen to it on the radio.
You know what, man? The truth of the matter is, if you're going to just compartmentalize each piece of his career, Craig's right. Was Buck an overall... Did he contribute to the Toronto Blue Jays winning while he played catcher? Probably not. Like, he wasn't really the greatest catcher out there. Was he an incredible manager? No, I would say that stretch, but also like the Blue Jays management in general, it's not like they put a stellar team on the field for Buck, right?
Yep.
Not tough to judge a guy who's just being strut out there as the name. Like, that was pretty much why he was chosen as manager. It was almost like when they brought Seago Gaston back, right? It was more like, well, maybe this will sell some tickets than actually being like, okay, here's a quality product. Now we need a manager who's got some experience and ready to go, or however you wish to frame it, right? So
Yeah, I think I just genuinely think the impact that he had from the broadcast.
Yeah.
Love him or hate him. Like, as long as I can remember, he's been the voice of the Blue Jays.
I love him in that broadcast booth. And maybe that's part of it, right? Is we've watched him in that booth since we were kids. So it is kind of tough to be like, Buck. Like, he goes hand in hand with Blue Jays baseball. Like, exactly. I think Buck Martinez, I think Toronto Blue Jays baseball. And isn't that what you want on your level of excellence?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. No scandals in his past. No.
Mm-hmm.
No red marks knock on his file. Knock on wood. I mean, we are getting to the senile years, so
yeah,
accidents happen. All right. Anyways, there you go. I just wanted your thoughts on old Mr. Buck. So there we go. Okay, outfield wall. Dimensions are out. The walls are coming in. They are heightening, being raised. 14 feet in some spots, Mr. Scott.
Holy smokes.
In a lot of spots, actually, 14 feet. Around the bullpen, 14 feet. Center field, notably, there is a stretch in center field that's 8 feet. So coming down in center field.
Okay, so there will be some robbed home runs there.
Yep. Generally, what are your thoughts on the outfield wall? I get some... confusion. I have a comment here, but I'm going to say, but I want your thoughts on the outfield wall first, and then I'll get to the comment about it. Because for me, it's frustrating that we are eliminating one of the most exciting plays in baseball.
I mean, we have talked about this numerous times since the renovations have been announced, and I'm kind of with you. I love watching that home run ball get robbed. There are a few things in play here that maybe we haven't considered too much. Number one, George Springer is the most all or none dude on this team. Will he run through a wall? Yes, he will. Will he take the careful way out to make sure that he plays the next day? No, that's not how he thinks. In the moment, he is going all out to make whatever play it is. And maybe these tall walls will be an injury preventative. Like, maybe it will allow him to play a little more, force him into playing a little more cautiously. I don't know how much of even true or not, but like, this maybe is where
this is where the comment comes in from Patreon. So I'll get to this now. Commented on our Patreon video, by the way, Patreon, all of our videos go up right away, instantly, raw and early, unedited. And then I tinker with all the clips. So for anybody who's like, oh, why do the clips come out first? Well, on Patreon, they're there early. So there you go. Anyways, Mall Pauliter on Patreon. Great name, by the way.
Love that name. Love that name.
Says taller walls reduce potential injuries. Outfielders will know that they just have to play certain balls off the wall instead of trying to, quote, hero up. Less exciting, perhaps, but totally in line with the prudence displayed by this front office.
Listen, George Springer is injury prone. Kevin Kiermaier is injury prone. Dalton Varsho is been a everyday player since making it to the major leagues, but why risk it? I don't know. I see what he's saying there. I can see how, like, I don't really know the stats behind this, and there might be a stat out there that completely disproves what Mall Pauliter and myself are saying here, right? But you know, when you say it out loud, logically it does make sense. And truly, George Springer almost needs, you know, someone to reel him in from time to time. So
yeah, I mean, it is like, when I saw that, I thought that makes sense, and it's the only reason I can think of that you would do something like that. Like, it's,
if safety of the ball player is completely equal across the board, I hate taller walls. Let's lower the walls. I want to see these home runs robbed. But
yeah, I mean, we know that if there's one thing owners hate, it's hate. They hate paying players not to play.
A loss on their investment. Yes.
Right? So truly, you know, think of all the times we've seen George Springer make a nice catch at the wall. He's coming down and holding his ankle. Right. So it's, It's a real thing. I would just counter with, I feel like if the ball is going to hit the wall at 8 feet, George Springer is still jumping and banging into the wall. Like I don't necessarily think a guy like George is going to just go, well, I can't rob the home run, so it's not worth catching the ball at all.
Fair point.
You know, maybe there is a window where it's like coming in at, I don't know what the vertical abilities of the average baseball player is, but whether it's 9 feet or 10 feet or 11 feet, I suppose there is a certain distance where a guy thinks he has a shot at it when he doesn't. So maybe there is a situation where it's coming in at, let's just call it 11 feet. George Springer makes a play. If it's a lower wall, he goes, I have nothing to lose by trying, right? If I don't get it, it's a home run anyways. Whereas if it's a wall, he goes, nah, if I don't
play it, he probably plays it off the wall. Exactly.
So I have to lay up. So I guess maybe in the, but still that feels like such a,
well, if there's anyone out there listening who's an analytic whiz and wants to get in the comments here and set us straight, if there's even stats out there as to the injuries had by an outfielder with certain wall dimensions, like I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Fewer broken ribs. I mean, that's the real only big injury that happens when guys are jumping up against the wall there and, you know, those 7 foot, 8 foot walls, I guess. But they have an 8 foot wall now center field. So I don't know, man.
Yeah. It's interesting. We'll see how it plays out. Okay. Let's
hockey and engineering. Add it to the list of things that we don't know anything about.
Right up there with baseball. Okay. Next one comes in from Patreon as well. By the way, again, Patreon heavy episode, but front of the line for mailbag. If you
we're making a push here, member,
we're making a push. Yeah. We're making a push. We're trying to get to 50 for your sake. Okay, we're trying to unlock those Ricky Tiedemann rookie cards. Wyatt on Patreon messaged us and said, "Hey Adam, maybe it's because I don't have anyone to talk baseball." Sorry, maybe it's because I don't have anyone to talk baseball with, or maybe it's because long toss is my favorite part of the walk-off. I just wanted to say I'm loving your content you're doing lately. That's a shot at you, Scott.
Yes, I get
that's
it.
Why? That's my comment.
I suck.
Wyatt says, I could listen to Garth and Craig talk baseball for hours. Joel, I have to take with a grain of salt a little just because I'm a little more of a glass half full kind of guy. Whereas he comes off as a glass half empty. It's still good to have other sides' point of view. So,
this is more of a new development to Adam. Joel's glass half empty mentality. He was so much more positive. He fell in love with that 2021 team. And now anything that isn't exactly that, it's a thorn in his craw, man. Like, he's a little choked about it.
Yeah, there's definitely a devil's advocate that he has running deep through his bones. He loves to play the contrarian. Reminds me of my brother in that regard. Maybe that's why I like him so much.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, you and I have acknowledged this in the past too, that you and I do agree on a lot of things.
A lot of things.
Doesn't always make for the best entertainment when it's just a pat each other on the back. For an hour kind of a show.
Look,
a lot of the things Joel said, because, you know, he's critical of the front office, he's frustrated that we haven't signed Bo or Vlad or Manoah long term. Like, I get it. A lot of comments come in for Joel though that are unfounded. Like, Joel, whether you agree with him or not, knows baseball.
He does know baseball,
so he's no clown in that regard. I got nothing but love.
He does
for Joel.
A good job. Oh, me too, man. And he does a good job of backing up what he's saying with analytics and stuff like that. Honestly, there's probably not a dude out there I disagree with more than Joel, than our boy Hey Commie. But you know what? it makes baseball talk fun, right? Like you just mentioned, like sometimes it's good to have a little bit of an argument. And it's funny because I did get a couple Twitter messages that were like, they were basically like, we're going to stop listening if Joel comes back. And I was just like, honestly, I love Joel so much. And I just like, he has been with us right from the beginning. And you're just going to need to not click on his episodes if you feel this way, or best of luck to you. And honestly, they all three who sent me these type of messages who were like, I'm out if he's still in, they're like, well, obviously we're not out, like we understand.
They made a bluff. they bluffed an ultimatum. I get it.
Side comes out, they're like, oh, they're buds with him, of course. They're like, you know, like
look, here's where I stand, and this is kind of, I don't want to get like too grandiose about this, but this is like the problem with society right now, is the echo chambers that people want to lump themselves into, where it's, I just want to hear people agree with how I feel. And if you don't agree with me, get out of the way. And this is the beautiful thing about Joel, and we can keep it with baseball, but it applies to any topic in your life. And I told my daughter this after we had Joel on and all the negative comments I saw coming in for him. Here's the best advice I can give any young person out there today, is challenge your point of view. Face the other side and then grow from it. Strengthen your stance, your opinion in the crucible of civil discourse, because if you're listening to someone from the other side, maybe you're wrong.
Different side. Exactly.
Maybe you take one step towards their side and now you're even more confident in the side you're in. Right. But
I'll tell you right now, buddy, just talking from a baseball side of things. And honestly, everything you just said there is very astute and I love it. And it's words of advice worth living by. From a baseball side, we both loved everything Ross Atkins and Shapiro did last year. And I'll tell you, like, my rope is getting shorter. I'm not saying that I'm agreeing with everything that Joel or that side of the argument has to say, but you know what? Like, we need to start seeing some results, because that doesn't matter. It does not matter how much I think that what they're doing is good. If the results aren't there, what the fuck? Like, who gives a shit then? Because that's the thing with us Jays fans. That's the one thing, the common thread amongst, unless you're a complete lunatic and would rather be right than win. But, you know, like, that's the truth. It's like, we all hope that this ends up in a World Series. And if this 30% of the people who are like, Shapiro and Atkins are ruining this organization, let me tell you, man, that 30% will be glad to eat the big shit burger that they're fed when they are like celebrating World Series win with the rest of us. Right. Like, and I'm the same way, like anything I'm wrong about, if it works out good.
Absolutely. To Joel's points, brings up a lot of stuff that even though I disagree with, I am able to learn from where he's coming from. And I do feel like I'm able to strengthen my stance when he's asking questions that I haven't considered yet. Right. When we're talking Dalton Varsho and I'm excited for this reason and that reason. And then he brings up, well, what about reason number 7? Mm-hmm. And I go, oh yeah, that's something to be aware of. And then now I have to reevaluate. How do I feel about this? You know, given factor number 7. And then you go, no, I still feel good. And that's where I come down. But having those sorts of that sort of pushback, I think, is a good thing. Okay. Anything you want to add to the topic of long toss? We are going to be bringing long toss back in February. Once you're back, we're going to wait till you're back.
Yeah. Honestly, just how much I love it. And if you are new to the channel, Long Toss is definitely a really fun program. It's very interactive. We do it live. We bring on different content creators almost every week. We've got our regulars who are just absolute brilliant when it comes to their baseball minds. Baseball Jen, Garth, Craig Ballard, Joel comes on, you know, Lewis, who again, like, had his 20-point rebuttal to Joel there. And that's another thing I love when Lewis and Joel are on together, because they do manage to, like, take that. Lewis is incredibly positive, and Joel tends to be a little bit more of a glass half empty guy. And so it's fun, you know, and it's fun to have people interacting and commenting and having that live comment section go. So yeah, man, I'm super excited to get Long Toss up and going again.
Long Toss will be a lot of fun. We'll do one more in February, probably one more in March, and then by April we'll be back to every single
we'll be Sunday, going every Sunday again. Yeah.
Those are a lot of fun. Like you said, we do have a variety of content creators on for this roundtable discussion. And then we also do sprinkle in some of our minor league contacts as well. I know Taylor Cicero joined us last year.
Yeah, Kirby Sneed.
Zach Logue. I think Chris Beck came for one. Don't quote me on
that.
Yeah. Misremembering. Anyways, lots of fun on Long Toss every Sunday night live. And yeah, let's go from there.
Another thing about Long Toss that's really cool is the outside podcasts, you know, the other teams' content creators that come on. So, you know, like, you get to hear from, you know, Chicago White Sox fanatic Rick. And you, White Sox Rick. And you get, who's our Orioles buddy there?
Jack.
Orioles Jack. Yeah, like, it's just kind of fun to have these, this network of people in other markets. Anyways, check it out. We'll be getting that back up soon.
Okay, let's talk Danny Jansen now. So
yes, please.
So Craig Phillips commented, does anyone see Danny Jansen playing anywhere other than catcher? This wasn't a, hey, is he the next Gabriel Moreno who can play third base kind of a comment. This is a pushback on a clip that we had out last week or maybe this week. It's a bold statement, but the idea that we had, or that we had come to over the course of our discussion, was that Alejandro Kirk is catcher or bust. He is not built to play first base. He is not the kind of hitter that you want as a DH, in my opinion. We're going to talk Alejandro Kirk in a minute, so I'll save the Alejandro Kirk stuff for the next comment. But the idea that Kirk is either going to make it as a catcher or he doesn't have a future in baseball, that's the pushback on Danny Jansen. So I just wanted your thoughts on Danny Jansen. If the knees start to go, if whatever the case may be. And, you know, we're not talking this year. We're talking 5-6 years down the road, right? Obviously, the catching position is one of the most difficult positions in sports, right? I mean, there's probably 24 football players that would disagree with me on that. But it is not a longevity position, regardless of how your body is proportioned. I just want to get that out there right now. As a fellow big boy myself, I have nothing but admiration and mind blow it awayness for what Alejandro Kirk is able to do with the body type he has. But let's talk Danny Jansen. Do you see him? Is it possible he could be a first baseman down the road? Is it possible he could? Do you
okay? So
if we're talking a renewed contract and he's a DH in the later parts of his career, is that an exciting DH for you?
So there are a lot to unpack here, yes. And boy, we are really down the rabbit hole of predictions, hey man, here.
This is what happens when it's January 31st, and you don't want to talk about fake Twitter rumors. So this is what we get.
Okay. So number one, the only reason that you would Scott Hattenberg, Danny Jansen, would be a lot of bad tacos, knock on wood. You would need his offensive production to continue to improve on last year's, even though he had a stellar offensive year, probably the best of his career, smaller sample size. So let me put it this way. If Danny Jansen at 34 years old is no longer capable of being behind the plate, number one, congratulations to Danny Jansen. He has put together one hell of a career. He has been catching for 10 freaking seasons in Major League Baseball. So a tip of the hat to Danny Jansen if he's at that point. Yeah, I can see him DHing, or maybe he's got the height and eye-hand coordination to be a first baseman. I think that that's something that he could maybe transition to. Again, this is all reliant on a team seeing his bat as a bat that needs to be in the lineup every day. If I'm a betting man, love Danny to death, friend of the show. I can't. Is his interview out or not yet?
Not yet, no.
Not yet. I really look forward to all of you being able to check out that interview we did with Danny Jansen. It was freaking awesome. He really got into like the weeds of what's going on with the team. And I think most Blue Jays fans truly have a soft spot for Danny Jansen because he's been with this organization for so freaking long. And we'd love to see him win with it. But would I bet that he is anything other than a catcher? I would bet against it. Where are you at? There's just so many ifs. Like, it would need to be if this happens and if that happens. And I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
is he athletic enough to play first base? Yes. I'm going to say yes. Danny Jansen is athletic enough to play first base.
Yeah. I would also say he's tall enough to play first base. He's 6'2". Mm-hmm. Vladdy, also 6'2". He's on the right side of 6 feet. That's what us guys over 6 feet call it. I could say that as a guy who's like 5'11 and 3/4, but I'm confidently. Mm-hmm. Just over 6 feet tall, if anybody asks, because when are you ever going to measure my height not wearing shoes? That's what I always say.
Hey, so. 6'1.5 here, but you would never hear me say that. I'm 6'2 to anyone who asks.
Exactly. So with that in mind, Danny Jansen
is a shortstop.
Yes. He's got the, in my opinion, he has at least shown the power in his bat is something that exists. Okay. Again, small sample size of like recently and whatever, but the excitement on him coming up through the minors was that he was like an offensive catcher. Right. So I'm just saying, in a situation where a bad taco slides into him at home plate and he spills bad taco all over his knees, if he's not able to put on the catcher's gear, but he is able to swing a bat, I wouldn't be upset if he's DHing at some point. And we're just like, yeah, we get like 30 home runs out of our 28-year-old former catcher. Like,
and you know what? If that's what Danny Jansen winds up being, you know, like if he gets to the point where offensively he's putting up 30 dingers, I mean, he's already got it made. It doesn't matter if he can catch or not, right? Like there is always going to be room in a batting order for a guy who can pull the ball and hit 30 dingers.
So this is where I'm saying Alejandro Kirk.
These are super high bars to be putting on Danny Jansen, by the way. Like we're really raising things up. Like I'll be so happy if he hits 20 and hits 250 and contributes at the bottom of that order.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing standing in Danny Jansen's way is just his opportunities, his games played. And I think that is because he is a catcher. And I don't think that's a shot at him as a catcher or at his medical record or anything like that. I think that is just
couldn't agree more.
It is a hard wear and tear position, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
But if the same situation was to fall into Alejandro Kirk's lap and he was to spill bad tacos all over himself, I have like no interest in a DH that hits 300 and
11 and needs home
to
runs.
Be base run for like,
yeah, no, just, it's true.
So
I agree.
The only
with
critique
you.
That I'm trying to get to here is that Alejandro Kirk, love him as a catcher for us in 2023. But again, and we're really nitpicking and we're looking for warts where we don't have to look at warts. This is January 31st to talk. This is all this is. Okay. I don't see him as a first baseman at 5'7".
God, I miss this dude. Honestly, I miss this so much, man. Like it's been 10 days since I've been able to do this. I just feel like I'm just like I'm lightning as a human right now. It's like, oh, all of this baseball talk that's been building up.
All right.
So but I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. So a few things.
Scott literally says, I'm with you. And then we lose Scott. Yeah, we lost you for a second. You said, I'm with you, dude. And then you were no longer with me. So try again.
So.
No, we lost you again. That's Scott's gone. There he is.
I'm sorry, dude.
Get it in quickly. We're really pushing our luck with this intercontinental episode. So
yes, absolutely. Okay. So if you want to see the Danny Jansen episode, by the way, that is available to anyone on Patreon. All of our interviews are released the second that we do it. And I know we've got a long list of guys that we've interviewed.
God dang it, Scott.
I think if you are correct here with his bat, I know I'm cutting in and out, man. Sorry. Long story short, all I'm saying is that, yes, I can see Danny Jansen being very valuable as a DH if his bat is what we hope it's going to turn into, which is a power hitter hitting the ball the other way who slots in at the back end of the lineup.
I'm with you there. Okay, from one catcher to the next now, let's talk Alejandro Kirk. Again, we're really scraping the barrel here to have something to talk about. We're kind of going backwards in time with this comment. But this one comes in from Johnny Eaton. Says, hindsight is not 2020 after all, but who in their right mind, including you two, I think this was me and Garth, I know we have people correct our math in the comment section, so don't need my grammar corrected as well. But who in their right mind, including you two, trades Kirk before the trade deadline last season? The Jays were in the playoff hunt, and Kirk was still well over 100 weighted runs created plus. If they traded Kirk, the fans, including you, would have called for Shapiro and Atkins head. So I push back on this because literally I was pushing for a Kirk trade all season last year.
Yes, but let's be okay. No, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I just wanted to say, look, I was a big fan of Alejandro Kirk, but we also have to remember where we were rotation wise last year. And again, hindsight being what it was, Stripling worked out and probably saved our season in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But this is a season where we didn't know coming into the year what we had in Ross Stripling, right? This is a year where we started the season with Ryu. This is the year where we started the season with Kikuchi, who didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a Jose Berríos who was, you know?
Yeah.
So we were really riding the wave of Alek Manoah and Kevin Gausman and then rolling the dice 60% of the time, right? We were rolling sixes when Stripling was on the mound, but Ryu went down, Kikuchi went down, and that was why I was calling for a Kirk trade, was this guy can get us a haul in return.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is a guy who we have a position of strength here. We have a real hole in the boat that we need filled. Kirk is probably the one piece that we can jettison and get something back in return. So I just wanted to get that off my chest, that was the motives behind that last year.
I know that I hit a point where I would agree with what that comment says. They just needed his bat in that lineup come the end of the season for that push with the playoffs on the line, it lining up like they were going to be a wild card team at absolute best. And he was their cleanup hitter. Like, it's really tough to move a bat like that, but I will say he made the most sense to move if you had to move a catcher outside of Gabriel Moreno, obviously, because then you're not really losing anyone off the roster, which is the direction they wound up going. Something that we said all along, that really the choices were you move Kirk or you move Moreno, because if you're moving Jansen, you need to go get a veteran catcher again. I just think that this worked out exactly the way it should have worked out. I'm actually really happy at this point that Kirky and Jansen are the guys that are still on this roster. And yeah, the guy, the commenter there, what was his name again?
This one came in from Johnny Eaton.
Okay, so Johnny Eaton's right. Like, we would have been flipping out. I would have been anyways. Like, but it's tough to know what the return would have been too. This is so speculative. Like, this whole episode is just, what if this happened and that happened and this happens? January 31st.
Yeah, come on back to Canada, my friend, and start writing the show notes again for me. Yeah. Pretty please. Pretty, pretty please. Boy, have I missed you.
That's too funny.
Yeah, I mean, this is the consequences, though, of baseball. And
World Baseball Classic starts in 36 days.
It does.
That's something.
Pitchers
and catchers report in 2 weeks.
I just want to add to Alejandro Kirk, though, that everything we just said about Danny Jansen and Alejandro Kirk, the future of Alejandro Kirk, I am still worried about, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
He can't catch every game. He really had a great first half last year. Legitimate all-star catcher, right? Also a lot of like
best catcher in the league voting him in. Offensively. Yeah.
Second half of the year, not so much. Definitely came back down to earth. And I hope that is not a regular trend in Alejandro Kirk's career, where he starts the year, he's fresh, he's great. I'm looking at his numbers from August 25th to the end of the season last year. 229 batting average, slugging percentage, 303, OPS, 641. That's what I'm worried about.
The reverse boat.
The reverse boat, the ob, if you will.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about. That is, talk me out of this fear. Tell me I'm being irrational here and this is just a small sample size and that he's lost a bunch of weight and that we're good.
He's a 5'8", 240-pound catcher, dude. I don't know. I kind of agree with you. Like, and I think he has lost weight. I think that those are some of the rumors that are coming out that Kirk is going to come into the camp like Vladdy did 2 years ago, which is fantastic. And that's great. But dude, it's still, you can't be a first baseman and be 5'8". Like, I'm sorry. And I know there's going to be people in the comments that hate that I just said that. It's just find me in baseball history, a first baseman that was 5'8" or less and had a long, prosperous career. I'll eat it. I'll take my L if you shove it in my face. But I can't think of anyone. Not with Bo Bichette throwing balls to him.
Hey, he'll catch. There's not a single ball in the dirt that's getting past Alejandro Kirk at first base. I'll give you that.
There you go.
All right, let's wrap it up here, Scott. Your internet is cutting out. I appreciate that you're able to make this work. I appreciate your wife, and I can say that now. Your wife,
yes,
letting you go for an hour to come talk ball. So,
yes.
Again, sincere.
It's because I've been talking ball. I've been like, to get some out, I've been talking ball to her too much. And she's like, you better go. And
this is for her as much as it is you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Well, thank you very much for making the time. I know that you're doing this a little bit earlier than normal and I'm fitting it in here. But yeah, man, all the best. And Scott, you're doing a great job.
I just needed to throw this to you. This is our last topic of the day. This is a what you watching this weekend, Africa edition. I'm going to just let you have the floor here. What are the sites like? What are you seeing? Because I'm just getting cool videos every single day from you. So what's it like?
Oh, it is incredible. We started the trip flying into Windhoek, which is the capital city of Namibia in Africa. We rented a vehicle there and drove up to their national park. It's called Etosha. And we saw lions. We saw cheetah in the wild, which never happens. It was so cool to be in this car. And it was cool, too, because we stopped at this rest stop. And they're like, you guys want to load the cooler up with beer? And I'm like, I'm allowed to just watch lions and wildebeest and zebras and drink beer? And they're like, why not? There's no one out here. So that was a really cool experience. And just even just the topography and the views, forget the animals, which were incredible, like needing to stop the safari vehicle for giraffes to cross, We also self-safaried a little bit too, which was cool. Of course, we don't know where the animals are, but there's so many cool stuff out there that we had a good time. And then we got married at a place called Vingerklip, which is the area of Africa. It's called Damaraland in Namibia, and it's all these huge plateaus. And then underneath, it's just like a very desertous landscape with little tiny bushes. And you can just kind of get on top of these plateaus and see forever. Anyways, it's absolutely incredible and life-changing experience. And yeah, it's been blowing my mind. And I'm married now, man.
Nothing changes. You just...
Nothing changes.
You just have sex less.
Yeah, that's...
There you go. All right, Scott. Thank you so much for making the time. Thanks to your wife for sharing. Yeah. When are you back? Because we're getting comments. When I do release these episodes, these interviews, people are like, oh, is Scott back now? But it's an interview we recorded 2 weeks ago. So when are you back?
No, I'm back February 16th. So another 2 weeks.
All right.
But I'm going to try and fit another mailbag in with you somewhere. I'll be in touch.
Very good. We'll figure it out. In the meantime, we'll have Craig holding down the fort. We'll have Garth holding down the fort. And we'll have Joe trying to blow the fort up. So. All right, everybody. All right, man. Thanks so much.
Take care. Okay. Good stuff. Sorry about the internet, man.
No.
It is what it is.
It was, other than the 2 minute stretch in the middle, it was,
the Danny
way
Jansen,
better than
so
I
bad.
Could have hoped for. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Good job. Okay. Enjoy the rest of your holidays. Say hi to your wife.
Thanks, buddy. I absolutely will. Okay. Yeah. All right, dude. Take care. Thanks for making this happen and going early, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, you too. Okay. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drop. Cheese and cracker shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.